Good evening. It is good to see everyone. Our number is down some from this morning. But it is good to see everyone that has looked into their heart and seen that this is a good thing to come together to do. To come together with others of like precious faith. We use that phrase a lot. But to come together with those who feel the same way that we do about God and His Word. Those who believe in the same God, believe in His Word, and have a desire to live according to His plan, His will. It's always a wonderful thing to be able to come together with others that have that same attitude towards God and His Word. And we should be thankful that we have so many in this area that are willing to do that. There are many areas around this country, and of course my mother and father are traveling in one where congregations this size are few and far between. In fact, to find one in the 20s is a pretty amazing feat in some areas. There are some larger congregations in the Northwest, but you're very isolated in many of these areas. And so there's some very small congregations. And so let's be thankful for what we have and the abilities that we have to do the things that we need to be doing. You know, we began talking this morning looking at how we oftentimes give God our leftovers. And we began by talking about our time. That, you know, we are each given the exact same amount of time. We are each given many of the same opportunities. Not always the same opportunities, but many of the same opportunities. We have the same opportunity to open up God's Word and to read from it. Some, I wish I had a mind like some, can read it and retain it a lot better and don't have to work quite as hard at keeping it up there. They get it up there and it stays. But we all have the opportunity to study God's Word and to become children of His that are pleasing in His sight. And we all have the opportunity to do the service that we are to offer to God. Just like with the Israelites, God does not require any service of you that you're not able to perform. You know, with the Israelites, they had various offerings that they had to give. And God had offerings that were set aside for those that were too poor that they could give. But it seems when you read there in the book of Malachi that even those that were there was certain ways that they could give something else, they were still offering the lame, the blind, and the weak. They were offering that which, as Malachi records the words of God, offer that to your governors and see if he would accept it. And we might ask ourselves, if I were to offer the same kind of service to my boss at work that I give to the local church, would I keep my job? Would I be considered a valuable employee, someone that can be counted on in the work? And so we need to think very seriously about the time that we're giving to the Lord and that we are trying to make our lives that which we're devoted, truly devoted to God. And you know, that brings us to the next part of our lesson as we continue looking at these things. And I mentioned it rather briefly this morning in that, you know, when we treat our time much like we do our checkbooks or our balance books or the bank sheet there on the internet nowadays for a lot of people, we look and we see what's left over and we offer a portion of that to God. Now, we could devote a lot of time looking at the things that were required of the Israelites in their day and time, and the way that God set up their offering. You know, a lot of times we go a tithe or a tenth, and we think, okay, 10%, that's what we are to offer. We fail to realize that that was a tenth of everything they had. It wasn't a tenth of what they made that week. It wasn't a tenth of what they made that month. It was a tenth of the value of their possessions. It was a tenth of the best of the flocks. And so when we really look at what God was requiring of them, it was quite a bit. And when we look at these things, we can see that when they were doing what God asked them to do, even though they were giving this large amount, what happened to them? They were blessed. They became a very rich country. They became one that many other countries sent tribute to. They became one that became very powerful within its region. As long as they were serving God, God took care of them. And when it comes to our money, and this is not a subject that preachers really like to preach on, because most preachers are like, well, if I preach on the contribution, then the congregation is going to think I'm taking a raise. And I thought, well, what better time to preach on the contribution than when I took a $500 pay cut? Nobody can say, well, he's wanting more money. No, I just told the congregation here, I'll work here for less. I was able to find some outside support to help us to remain to stay here. But you know, this is something that we need to think about. When we are giving as we have prospered, as we're commanded in the Scriptures, we need to really think about what we're giving to the Lord. And we could spend weeks just looking at the subject of giving, and I've got another topic that I want to talk about this evening, so we're not going to go in depth in this. It's something that you need to sit down and you need to look at and you need to think out in your own life. Am I giving to the Lord as I should? You know, when we go out to eat, I'm not a McDonald's person at all. If I can avoid McDonald's, I'm a happy man, but I have two kids. And so that just pretty much means if I'm going to be a nice dad to my children, I'm going to suffer through McDonald's. I'm going to go and I'm going to act like I enjoy these things. Now they know. One's asleep almost. But that's the thing. McDonald's isn't exactly a cheap place to eat anymore, is it? $20 is eating cheap at McDonald's for a family of four. Now, if we all eat, and like I said, I'm not a big fan of McDonald's, so I don't eat that much there. But if we all eat a regular meal, you're looking at $25, close to $30 for a family of four to eat at McDonald's. Where you go away and you're like, oh, I wish I had not eaten that. But many people don't think anything about going to McDonald's and dropping $20 on a couple of Happy Meals and a couple of value meals that don't seem quite so valuable anymore. That's nothing. In fact, we're in a position in this country that it seems that many families pretty much eat at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's. That's where they eat. Every day. We had some good friends in Alabama in Tennessee, that their son didn't like any other restaurant in the world, Wendy's. And so they went to eat anywhere else. They had to stop at Wendy's and get him something to eat. And I told Ann, I said, well, you just don't feed him a couple of times. And, well, that food that at that restaurant is going to start to look a little bit better. It's kind of like with a dog. It doesn't want this kind of food. It likes the expensive food. Well, if you leave nothing but that other old food out there that's cheaper, well, if that dog has half a brain, he's going to start eating the cheaper dog food. But they would go out and any time they would stop after school and buy him something there to eat. And that's expensive over time. The point I'm trying to make is we don't think anything about going out and doing these things. And I know I'm talking to a different audience here. A lot of people don't think anything about going out to the movies regularly. I know that's not necessarily this congregation, because I know a number of you are like me, that it's like almost a once a yearly thing that we go out and first of all, there's a movie that I'm willing to take my kids to, and second of all, that I've got enough money to take my kids to go see a movie. But a lot of people don't have a problem going and dropping, and you're looking at $36 to go and see a 3D movie. You're looking at around $30 just to go and see a movie. And some of you are sitting back there going, I remember going for less than 30 cents. But a lot of people don't think anything about that. Baseball tickets. Have you noticed how expensive it is to go and see the Steelers? The Pirates? To even go to any kind of an event, there's a large amount of money that's often involved. And you may not be a movie person, but there's something else that you spend money on. I had a friend in Tennessee that the 4th of July came up, and we went out and I spent quite a bit of money on fireworks, because we lived out in the country and I wanted my children to enjoy it was only Brooklyn at the time. I wanted her to enjoy some fireworks, and they were coming over, and so we're going to have about five or six little girls out there, and I wanted them to enjoy some fireworks. And he said, I just can't see spending that much money on fireworks. And I wanted to so bad turn and go, I can't see spending a couple of $1,000 on a golf cart so that I can go play golf three or four times a week. You see, there's all something. My father doesn't like some of the things I spend my money on. And I'm like, well, I don't have as many shotguns, rifles, fishing equipment, and boats as you have had. You count up all that money, it kind of evens out in what I'm spending on what I enjoy, and you're spending on what you enjoy. The crux of the matter is, we don't mind spending money. We don't mind spending quite a bit of money sometimes on things that we enjoy. But when it comes Sunday morning, and the collection plate is being passed, all too often there's that quick ruffling through the billfold. All right, there's a 50, there's a 20. Ah, here's a dollar. I'll put that in. First and foremost, there's no forethought whatsoever into what you're giving. And churches are suffering. Churches are suffering greatly because the congregation doesn't realize the sacrifice that they need to be willing to make. You remember we talked this morning just real briefly about the concern of the local congregation, the local Christians, that they were willing to sell property to help take care of some other Christians. Now that's still present with some Christians and it's still present in some areas. But are we willing to make the sacrifice that's necessary? First of all, we need to be looking at planning on our giving. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, of course we have there the words of the Apostle Paul as he's instructing the church there in Corinth. And he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, "These are the same things that I told the churches of Galatia." In other words, these are the same teachings that I'm giving everyone. You're not special. I'm not binding something on you that I'm not giving to someone else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, there beginning in verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also on the first day of every week, each one of you shall put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come." Now there's a couple of things that we can take just a few moments to note. First of all, there's some planning involved there. They're preparing to give. It's not, "Oh, it's the collection, I've got to hurry up and get some money out," and they're preparing. Secondly, he says, "as you may prosper." You know, one of the things that we need to understand is that if you're not prospering, God doesn't expect anything out of you. But we need to think about what prospering is. We live in a very prosperous nation. Yes, there are a number of people without jobs. There is a tough economy, but we still live far above just about any other nation in this world. Many of us have multiple televisions, multiple cars, multiple computers, multiple cell phones. You know, there's a number of things in our life that we consider necessities that just aren't. And we may be looking going, "Well, I didn't really make that much this month. There wasn't that much on top of covering all the bills." Well, we need to think about what are those bills that we're subtracting. Are they necessities? Or are they things that we want? Is it a payment on a boat? Do you have to use the boat to get to work? Is that boat a part of your work? Are you having to make payments on various things that you just use on a random basis? Well, I think that's prospering. Even if you don't have that much left over at the end of the month, you're still prospering. And we need to take that into consideration when we're looking at how the Lord has blessed us and make sure that we're doing what we can, preparing ourselves in our giving. Now, to go on and look there into the second epistle there to the church in Corinth, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And there the Apostle Paul uses a law that is well understood by every farmer that's ever farmed, the law of sowing and reaping. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there in verse 6, Paul says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." There are some requirements in how we give. First of all, Paul is trying to get you to understand that the more you sacrifice, the more you sow, the more you give, the more you're going to reap. Once again, look at what the... Just imagine what it would be for you to take a tenth of your wealth. Some of you might be going, "Well, I don't have that much in the bank." I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm talking about the value of your car, the value of your house, the value of everything inside that house. You add up the value of all those things and then take a tenth of that and a tenth of your income for that year. You're going to find it's a pretty massive amount. For many, probably more than you give. And this was what was required of the Israelites. And as long as they were serving God, were they in want of anything? Were they destitute? No, God blessed them. And that's what Paul is trying to get the church there in Corinth. He's encouraging them to go ahead and begin gathering that collection that they had promised that they would help out in and taking care of the needy saints in Jerusalem. He's told them, you know, I've got some people coming from Macedonia. The members of the church in Macedonia have given above and beyond what they're able. I encouraged them not to give so much, Paul says. But they, no, we want to send this. We want to be a part in this. Paul was a little worried that they were putting themselves in danger of needing help later. But he tells the church in Corinth, he says, this idea of sowing and reaping. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But he gives some very important things for us to think about there, not just in giving bountifully or sparingly, but the attitude in our giving. If you're giving because you have to, keep it. You're not doing a proper service to God. If you're giving because it's a requirement, God doesn't want that. If you're giving because someone else says you've got to give, or you don't want someone else to think poorly of you, you need to think about that. Because as we read here in this passage, God loves a cheerful giver. And just think for just a moment, the money. What's it going to? Well, I don't know. Electricity, I guess. Well, we like that electricity when it's really, really hot outside. I mean, it feels like Alabama out there, folks. Actually, it's about 10 degrees less than Alabama usually is this time of year. You like that air conditioning, don't you? That costs money. When there's a foot of snow on the ground, it's 20 degrees. You like coming into a nice heated building, having a nice plowed parking lot that you can easily pull into, no snow to have to walk through. You like that? It costs money. There's a lot of little things just to keep this building in running order. And that's just a small portion of where your money goes. It's the preaching of the gospel, not only in this area, but through efforts from members of this congregation around the world. Because you pay me a certain salary that allows me to keep high-speed internet at my house, and because Chuck is a pretty good techno wizard and willing to donate certain equipment, the church has a website cost them $10 a year. I know churches that are paying $150 a month for a website that has less available than we have. Your money is going to a good work. But you know what? There's more that can be done. There's more. And it takes sacrifice, not just on the part of one or two, but sacrifice on all of our parts. And sometimes we might need to look and go, do I really need this more than the local church needs this? Is this something that I really have to have? Or would it go to a better good? You know, the men of the congregation have been worried for, well, the past couple of years about the downward turn of the financial status of this congregation. I think it's something that not just the men should be concerned with. Maybe it's time for all of us to begin to kick in a little bit more. A little bit more. And just imagine if each of the members were kicking in just a little bit more, sacrificing just a little bit to kick in a little bit more. How much different that could be. Just to add another $100 a week or a month would require a small sacrifice on the part of all the members. We need to understand that when we give, we become partakers in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we may sit back and go, well, I can't preach. I'm just not a preacher. I'm not a Bible class teacher. Well, in providing support for these things, providing the financial means to do these things, you are becoming partakers in that. Look with me, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church there in Philippi. Philippi is in the province of Macedonia. This is the province that Paul is writing about to the church in Corinth, saying they gave beyond their ability. He also wrote numerous times about how they helped him in his preaching of the gospel. In Philippians chapter 4, there beginning in verse 14, he says, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Paul is expressing his great appreciation for the love that was shown by the church there in Philippi, that just after they were converted, this is Lydia and the household of the Philippian jailer, just after they was converted, just after the church was started, he traveled straight over to Thessalonica, and by the time he reaches Thessalonica, there's members of the church from Philippi, or they're sending financial support. He says, "You're taking part in the work that I'm doing." In Philippians chapter 1, go back there to the first chapter, there in verse 7, that's exactly what Paul says there, as he's providing his greetings and his thanks for all these things. Let's go back and begin there in verse 4, or verse 3. "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with you with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. You may feel that you're not able to preach or to teach a Bible class, but your giving, your offering in this local congregation helps provide for a gospel preacher. It helps provide for Bible class material in the various classrooms to help equip those Bible class teachers so that they can effectively teach a Bible class. And your offering, your contribution, makes you a partaker in that." Now, don't misunderstand me and go, "Okay, the preacher said, if I put a little bit extra in the plate, I don't have to teach a class." Oh, no, no, no. No, no. Go back and listen to the lesson this morning. We all need to be increasing in our service, in our time, not just in our financial contribution. But we need to be doing all that we can in presenting the gospel, teaching, and trying to help with the local work. The last thing I want to talk about, and this is something I kind of referred to this morning, go back to Matthew chapter 13 there in the scripture reading from this morning. And note there, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14 it says, "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive, for the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them.'" Are you giving the Lord your attention? Are you paying attention to the Word of God? Not to the words of the preacher, to the words of the Bible class teacher. If they're not presenting the Word of God, you're better off not listening to them. Are you listening to the message of God's Word? The Israelites had a horrible problem in looking at the prophet and going, "Yeah, good message," and then going off and stoning him. Jesus said, "There wasn't a single prophet that was sent to you that you didn't take part in killing." Are you listening to the Word of God? Are you truly giving attention? Some might use the excuse that I used to use as a young adult. I'd pay attention, but I'm too poor to pay attention. It sounded funny then. but it's just plain stupid now. I have all the attention that I need to give to the Lord. It's just up to me to give it to Him, to listen, to open my ears, to open my eyes, to open my heart, to open my mind to the things that are being said. But you see, it's so easy to give our attention to so many other things. It amazes me, the knowledge that many young people have today of various sports people, movie stars, things of that nature. And then I think, dude, you had a collection of Ray Stevens songs in your head that you could quote verbatim. It's not that amazing. It's amazing what we'll give attention to at various parts of our life. What we will give our knowledge to, what we'll give our understanding to. You see, the problem is we have so many other things that we give our attention to that we don't have any attention left to give to God. Too many times children are not taught to pay attention. In fact, well, little Johnny just can't pay attention. Now, I'm not going to say that there are not cases where little Johnny or little Susie need some kind of medication to help them focus. But in a lot of cases, they're like my brother Jeff, where he had to be made to pay attention. There are many cases where individuals, I just can't pay attention that long. Oh, really? Take them to a ball game? Woo, come on. Let's go. Hours on end, they'll sit there in the bleachers and cheer on their favorite team. Or they'll sit down and they'll watch their favorite movie for hours on end. In fact, they'll watch three or four of them in a row because they all go together and it's just such a wonderful story. And when you tie it all together, it just makes it all the more impressive. And they'll find themselves having sat there for 12 hours giving rapt attention to these things. But you preach over 20 minutes, I can't pay attention that long. Really? God's Word is that boring to you. Now, I'm going to be first to say there are some preachers out there that make it pretty difficult. But if you're focused on the Word of God, you can do it. If you think about what they're preaching, and you focus on the message and the seriousness of that message, it helps. It helps. We need to be giving God attention in our lives. In John chapter 4, we read that God is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Those who will be true worshipers. Are we a true worshiper of God? Do we give Him our undivided attention? But that baby's so cute. I can't believe Sister So-and-so wore that dress to church. If Brother So-and-so wears that tie one more time in a row, I don't know what I'll do. Why did she have to sit down next to me? Oh, why does she have to clip her nails every Sunday? Believe it or not, that is true fact. Every Sunday morning, one member of a local congregation, she trimmed her nails during the preaching. Clip, clip, clip. She did it one time during the Lord's Supper. Now you think it's hard to focus. You be sitting a couple of rows away from clip, clip, clip. But we have to focus, don't we? We have to put the worldly things from our mind. We oftentimes focus on this, and that's good. We should. But you know what? We shouldn't have to say, let's put all the worldly things from our mind. Because you know what? When we walk through those doors and prepare ourselves to worship God, we should have already wiped the worldly things from our mind and we focused on the songs that we're singing. There shouldn't be worldly thoughts in our mind when we're singing these songs. They're songs of praise to God, not songs of praise to Kool-Aid or what we're going to have for lunch that afternoon. Focus. Give God your attention in every aspect of the worship service. And give Him your attention at home. It doesn't do any good to give more time to reading of God's Word if you're not giving attention to what you're reading. You know, you can read the Bible cover to cover and you can close it and you go, that's a good book, and have learned nothing about it. if you're not giving attention. That's why the psalmist so many times speaks of meditating on God's Word. That's the idea, giving attention. It takes sacrifice. Do you want to know what sacrifice? DC will tell you this summer. He's already taken one test. He's got, what, three more? To become an accountant. That's not an easy task. It's taking a lot of focus. You reckon he can just sit back and go, yeah, I'll pass this next test. And you don't believe that there's distractions in his life? Things, hey, you, DC, you want to go out and do this? You want to go out and do that? No, I got to study. And you can see from the dedication that he had in graduating from college, he's going to make it. But you know what? We need that kind of dedication in our own spiritual lives. I just can't understand the Word of God. Well, you're not focusing enough. The Bible is written so that the average, and even the below average of understanding, can get something from it. Can know what they need to know. But it requires us giving attention. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at what the Apostle Paul had to say to this young preacher. These things are being written towards the end of the Apostle Paul's life, and he's trying to provide some encouragement to this young preacher as he goes in. And you know, this young preacher has been working with Paul closely for a number of years. And now Timothy's going to be on his own. Paul's not going to be there to encourage him. And you look there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's begin reading there in verse 13. He says, "Until I come, give attention to the reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." Now, Timothy's not quite as much of a young man as he was when Paul first came across him there in the second missionary journey in the town of Lystra and Derbe. Timothy's grown up. Timothy's been responsible enough that Paul has left him behind in various locations. Timothy was responsible enough that he, along with Titus, was given charges to go and to appoint elders in various congregations. Given a list of qualifications that grown men today can't even agree on. And said, you go and appoint elders in these churches. And they did it. And here's Timothy. Paul says, you pay close attention. You take pains with these things. You be absorbed in them. That's the kind of attention we need to give to the reading of God's Word. That's why so many Christians, year after year after year after year, ad nauseum, well, I just don't know enough to teach Bible class. I just don't feel strong enough as a Christian to teach Bible class, because they've never given the time to read, to study, to grow. They've never paid close attention to God's Word. They've never taken pains with God's Word. They've never been absorbed in them. They've never been like the psalmist who meditated on these things day and night. That's the kind of attention it requires. And just like with our money, and just like with our time, we will be judged by the type of attention, by the sacrifices we make in paying attention to God and His Word. And I'm terribly afraid that many who feel that their home is prepared, who feel that their ticket has been punched, that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, are going to get there and God's going to go, you had a lot more opportunity in many different ways that you chose not to do. You can't come in. We need to be careful in these things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I just can't focus on God's Word. Well, then your treasure is somewhere else. If your treasure is in heaven, then what better place to go than the book that tells you about heaven? If your focus is on God, what better place than His Word? I get bored reading. Believe it or not, people say that. Maybe not out loud. I just can't get into it. Pay attention. Be absorbed in these things. We need to make sure that we're doing all that we can to increase in our attention to God, our attention to His Word, our attention to how it is to affect us in our life. You see, we must give God our attention. Let's close with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Our time is past. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look there in verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's the attitude of a child of God. I don't need these things. These things are taking precedence over my service to God. Now, before we close out the lesson, I want to make sure you understand it's not wrong to watch television. It's not wrong to read books. It's not wrong to ride bikes. It's not wrong to go hunting. It's not wrong to go fishing. It's not wrong to have a fishing boat. It's not wrong to have a nice house. These things are not wrong. But when they are taking the focus away from God, buddy, they're wrong. When you're giving more attention, more time, and more money to these things than you are to your service to God, you're sinning. Period. God is not pleased with you. And we all need to think more seriously about these things. The invitation is offered to you this evening. I believe all who are present here this evening have obeyed the gospel at some point in time in their life that are of the age of accountability. But it's time for you to think seriously about your service to God. Is it that which is pleasing to Him? Are you giving to God the lame, the blind? Are you giving to God the leftovers? What you can't find anything else to do with, well, I'll give that to God. Whether it be time, money, or, well, I've got a few moments, I'll give some attention to God's Word. Then repent and return to God. Serve Him in a way that is pleasing in His sight. Whatever your situation, make it right now as we stand and as we sing.